Coleman had 4.8 yards after contact on average, which is just absurd. The guy is a bowling ball.
We talked about this a little bit on the preview, but what about some of the impact freshman contributions we've seen?
Yeah.
You know, Damon Williams hitting Denzel Boston on that little Swiss route.
Welcome to the Dubbed Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Flaunt. This week, we're going to be digging into the 35-3 thrashing of Weber State. We're going to look at the offense on this episode. So I got my guys Izzo, I got Noah with me. Fellas, our first look at the Jed Fish era, how are we feeling? Noah, I'm going to start with you.
Yeah, man. I mean, 35-3, man, you can never be upset about that. Offensively, defensively, you know, maybe a little bit of a slower start than we wanted. You know, I think it was 0-0 after the first quarter. I had people text messaging me, dude, you got to score in the first quarter. Like, come on, man, you got to score in the first quarter. You know, don't forget about the big run by Jonah early on. Yeah. But man, that run game was on point. And did Jed know what he was doing when he brought Jonah Coleman up from Arizona to be like the bell cow? You know, I'll be the first person to say, you know, I said it's a 1A, 1B type room with him and Cam. Dude, Jonah Coleman is a bad man.
He is.
I mean, he is a bad man. And I mean, just his point of attack on everything he does. I mean, you know, I think we averaged 7.2 yards a carry as a stable. And I think that just really helped. You know, we had a lot of mixture up front, you know, and our offensive line, you know, there's some growing pains in that game. I think there's a lot of opportunity for us to really come together. But and you saw a lot of combinations, and but it was a pretty solid performance across the front, especially with so many new guys. One of the things I wanted to point out that I really saw was, you know, when we went to that front where we had Azzoparty at left tackle, we moved him from right to left.
Yeah.
We put Enoch Vamahi at the right tackle, and then we brought in Landon Hatchett off the bench to play right guard. Then you had T.T. Ali, and then guard Memelar. That was the first time, you know, that was the first touchdown we scored early in the second quarter. But man, I'll tell you, that unit together looked pretty tough. They were moving bodies.
You know, on that very first touchdown, if you go back and look, dude, I mean, they absolutely just like wiped that whole side of the offensive line, and Coleman walked right in. So, you know, we'll keep moving forward. We'll get into our offensive line as we go, but you know, those were some of my initial thoughts as we kind of kicked off this season and get this thing going.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the swapping of the O-line was crazy. But, you know, after taking Fa'asolo out, he came back in and I think he held his own. Izzo, what were your thoughts initially on this offense when you saw them, especially during the first quarter, and then how it changed as the offense progressed through the game?
Yeah, I think one of the big takeaways for me that didn't initially, I was kind of picking up on it maybe around the second quarter, is that we weren't really getting penalized a whole lot. It was a play calling wise, just discipline wise, it seemed like a pretty clean game from Jed Fish. The BS call that Noah was talking about from Jonah Coleman, where Quentin Moore just absolutely pancaked that guy, that was not a penalty, which was a bummer, but it didn't really stifle the day of Jonah Coleman. And the penalties that happened during the game weren't really all that impactful. There's obviously things that you can clean up. You know, you would like to have consistency on the offensive line. I don't think it's speaking too far out of turn that ideally in week one, you're not bouncing left tackle to right tackle and moving that piece around.
Yeah.
But like you guys had talked about and Noah talked about, you know, there's something to be said about being able to platoon the offensive line. You know, and having guys that can play multiple positions, especially when you have dudes like Landon Hatchett coming off of injury and guard Memelar coming off of injury. That's another thing too. Guard Memelar looked like a hog, man.
Yep.
They look great up front with him up there. And Landon did too, frankly.
The interior of the offensive line did.
Yeah. I mean, there was what you were hoping to see out of them, you saw. And so really it just becomes tackle getting shored up. But, you know, we'll go into that more, but Will Rogers, you know, I think there was some deep ball passes that you would have liked to see a little bit more accurate. One to Jeremiah Hunter. There was one in the first quarter that he threw to Denzel Boston on the right side. It was on like third and eight or something like that. We're just like, I don't know about that play call right there. But
I think that was the first drive, wasn't it?
Yeah. It might've been the first drive. Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, that gets carried out in the wash when you're, you know, when you're running the ball for 7+ yards a carry. I mean, I think Jonah Coleman had 4.8 yards after contact on average, which is just absurd. The guy is a bowling ball. So it's not lost on me. I'm way more positive on what I saw than I am negative, but it's not lost on me that against better competition, there's things that you have to get shored up. The thing that I'm most optimistic about was the fact that there wasn't some huge, huge penalties on a consistent basis from the offensive line, despite you platooning the offensive line like that.
Yeah. So the running game was absolutely dominant. You're not lying. And it was exactly what you were hoping to see from an opponent that plays at a lower level. You wanted to be able to move the line at will. And I think they really, really did. And I'll tell you what, Jonah Coleman got some Marshawn Lynch in him. That was so impressive. And same thing with Adam Muhammad and Cam Davis. Like, we're going to have a really, really, really fun season when it comes to what we have in that backfield.
Izzo, I was going to say, were you pretty surprised as well? I mean, we talked about this in the preview. I didn't expect Hatchett to come back until maybe week 3, Apple Cup, most likely, game 4 going into the Big Ten season. That was, I mean, he had 26 snaps. I mean, that shocked the hell out of me. And I mean, that's a testament not only to our strength and conditioning coaches and getting them ready in our OTs and PTs and all that, but also, man, dude, just the grind and the work ethic he has to get back for game 1 of 24. I mean, that is wild, man. And for him to be as good too as he was.
How long ago officially was the injury?
Let's just call it 9 months. I mean, dude, 26 snaps 9 months later to me is freaking like, dude, I was like mind blown.
Now, you guys had talked about Will Rogers. What I wanted to talk about was the receiving corps and how they played. Izzo, I'm going to go with you on this one. First of all, what did you think of the receiving corps? And were you surprised Jeremiah Hunter did not have a catch?
So Jed Fish was asked about this in his presser, and he started to go into splits, like targets. And I think something like 60-ish% of targets went to Giles and Denzel. And then they had, mixed in, some targets for Decker DeGraff. He mentioned that on one route, had they not been in a hurry up offense, that actually Jeremiah ends up on the inside and then Denzel just happened to be up on the inside and get a route that he caught. So a couple things here. I do think it's just game plan. I bet you Jeremiah Hunter is not really that upset about it because the context is probably not lost on him. I think it's a little bit strategic too. We saw them keep out players on defense and on offense that you would probably think you would see more of. And I think that played into it. So I'll just say that about Jeremiah Hunter. I'm not really worried about it. And I'm not, while I am surprised like everybody else that he didn't see maybe 5-6 targets, I'm not really reading into it too much. Game flow is game flow. Guys are open here. Guys are open there, whatever. I will say, I mean, we can't go too far without talking about Chucky himself. Giles Jackson, that kid, I'm so happy for him, man. He's been waiting behind some absolute studs, just like Denzel Boston is, but he's a redshirt senior. He's got to make it happen this year, and they are utilizing him a ton. He looked fast. They had him on the end arounds. They did all the stuff in EA Sports College Football, all those plays that you've been playing with. They were running those. He had 3.1 yards of separation on his targets. Around him. And a lot of that has to do with scheme, right? Because a lot of that stuff's underneath and behind the line of scrimmage.
But bubble screen. I love the bubble screen.
Yeah. They're clearly trying to get him in open space.
Yep.
Let him do the thing after the catch. So very, very excited about him.
I was going to say that. Remember we talked about this in the offensive preview, that this offense has a very specific position that Giles Jackson fits perfect, and he did that. That's what I was going to ask you. We had talked about Giles and we've talked about Hunter. How did you feel about the rest of the stable, and specifically Denzel Boston? Because I think that he really showed he's a guy.
Yeah, man. When I was getting prepared for the show, I called Izzo actually, and I was like, dude, The more I watch him on the field, the more I think, I mean, he's a clone of like the big three of last year. And I was really trying to like dissect that and be like, who does he really remind me of? And it's like the quick slants are like very familiar to J-Mac. You know, some of the work he does with his hands, always catching the ball with his hands, reminds me a lot of Polk. And it's almost like, it's this little mix between them two. The other thing I wanted to mention real quick was this before we jumped. We talked about this a little bit on the preview, but what about some of the impact freshman contributions we've seen?
Yeah.
Damon Williams hitting Denzel Boston on that little Swiss route, that he scores for like a little eight, 9 yard touchdown. You know, Damon, dude, he has everything we're looking for, man. I'll tell you what. I mean, he is just, dude, very first play comes in, fights through the line of scrimmage, gets a 9 yard scamper, and then you have, dude, I got to come up with this just an absolute filthy nickname for Adam Muhammad. But dude, that guy is going to be, I mean, he is the Thunder, man, of Thunder and Lightning, dude. I mean, he is the next real deal. His balance, his explosiveness, dude. I think our boy KP put this out on the Twitter timeline, but dude, he gets hit like right at his thigh, kind of gives him a little shake, and dude, his balance and just effort to just keep grinding forward. I mean, dude,
he looks Adam, like an NFL back.
He really does.
NFL back right there. The three of them between Coleman, Davis, and Muhammad, you kind of see them starting to fill roles, right? Like even in this first game, because Davis was the pressure reliever off to the side, right?
Yeah.
Made that.
Oh, he's just like he's like the pass catcher. I mean, that's really what he is. Yeah.
Reliable third down running back is what it looks like. You can give him goal line touches if you want. I think they were trying to feed Jonah and kind of get his stats up, but you could have put any of those three running backs in there and they were scoring on some of those rushes. But, Muhammad coming in off the bench is just it's just a cheat code, man. Like we talked about a two-headed monster with Davis and we kind of knew Muhammad was on the side, like, hey, lingering around, he might see some PT, but I'll be honest, I was not expecting a run to look like that.
Yeah.
Dude, think about it this way too, Mike. I mean, when you really think about a running back in today's college game, right? If he's already built like that, he's already built like he could go play at the next level. I'm just talking about from a physicality standpoint, right? I'm not saying at this second, but I'm saying like he is on that trajectory to be built to play at the next level. Do you really think that he actually only plays like four games in red shirts? Because then you're like, oh, so we only get him for 2 years? I mean, I would think that if we think he's ready to go and he can be our third back,
he redshirts.
Dude, I don't think he'll redshirt this year, man. I think
especially with attrition. With attrition, he's not going to be. I mean, not saying a guy's going to get hurt for long periods of time, but guys might miss a game, a couple games, and he's going to play. And Jed Fish came out and said, this ain't the year for redshirting. He's gonna make sure that guys are playing because he wants us to win because we need to be successful in the Big Ten.
Yep.
Now, you guys, before we move on to highlight players, one of the position groups we didn't actually get to real quick, but I think was a very interesting position group for the night was tight ends. We saw Quentin Moore go down. From what we hear, it sounds like it wasn't as serious as it looked on the field, but we also saw the rise of Decker DuGraff. Izzo, what did you think? How did you feel about the tight ends?
Q Moore's injury. When it happened, I was in Club Husky and I looked up at the screen and I watched the replay. It was scary for sure. Immediately put a damper on everything that had happened in the first half for me. I was hopeful he was going to stay up because it looked like the hit came straight on. It didn't look like a side hit, it didn't come from the side. So I was hopeful. But then when he hit the ground again, it was just like, you need him because like Noah had said before in our offensive preview, he is the everything tight end. He is not. I had thought that they were going to be specializing a little bit more, but there's nothing that Quentin Moore looks like he can't do. And it's really clear how important he's going to be to the offense, especially on the left side, as they're kind of figuring out the tackle situation at left tackle. So that's my big thing. We had heard about Kalecki Latu. Maybe he wasn't going to play. So it was nice to see him out there as well, not utilized a ton, but I'm a little bit worried about the depth. I don't know about you, Noah. Are you kind of concerned about just how the depth looks at tight end, or what are your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, first kind of piggyback your thing on Q Moore. I mean, if you want to see an absolute, you know, just textbook block, go look at him absolutely pancake that dude that they called an absolute terrible hold on that 50-yard run by in the first quarter that Izzo mentioned earlier. Dude, that's why he is so vital. He can seal the edge, and then he can also just get up in you and freaking put you down. So that's why Quentin Moore is just so vital for our offense. I mean, I text Izzo, I go, dude, I don't think I realized how important he was after watching him, until he gets hurt. And not that Latu or DeGraff can't block, but dude, Q Moore is like, he's a man, dude. I mean, he's 22 years old. He's 6'5", 255. I mean, dude, he's everything you want in a tight end. But looking at the depth, kind of like you're asking, Izzo, is, you know, we found out that Charlie Crowell was out for the year, looked like, you know, a knee injury. It sounds like Auden, is maybe 2 to 3-ish.
Yeah, games. He's 2 to 3. They said 2 to 3 weeks and he'll be back. Oh, okay. We're going to need it.
Yeah. And so I think getting him back really boosted that room. I mean, dude, Ryan Auden, I'm not going to sit here and say he's everything of his older brother, because his older brother was so healthy and just could go all the time. But I mean, I had a conversation with his older brother probably 2 years ago, and he said, hey man, Ryan's probably on a trajectory of being even more athletic and more like versatile than I was. And so ever since his brother told me that, I was like, God, we got to get this guy in the field, man.
Got to keep him healthy. Right?
And he's just had injury after injury. So, I mean, I'm glad he's kind of stuck with it, but I really want to see Ryan get on the field. But our tight end depth is our depth, you know, a little concerning. I mean, yeah, it is. Uh-huh. And having Decker to come in and solidify that room a little bit surely helps, but getting a Q Moore back healthy and getting Ryan Auden healthy will be big for us going forward.
Yeah. I got a question for you guys. Have you ever wanted to walk into Husky Stadium where there's 70,000 people and be the best looking person in the stadium? If you have, make sure you go to Simply Seattle, hit that QR code. Our good friends at Simply Seattle hooked us up and we look great. You see that QR code? Make sure you snap that, go check it out, get all the Husky gear you want, plus Mariners, Sonics, Storm, all that stuff, everything at Simply Seattle.
If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button. Thanks to our awesome sponsor, Simply Seattle. We'll be choosing one lucky new subscriber to win a free Washington Huskies t-shirt from Simply Seattle and a hat. So make sure you subscribe and you could be rocking some fresh new gear like we are on this podcast today. QR code at the bottom of the screen. QR code at the Go Dawgs.
All right, fellas, we're going to end this one on one of the most high notes, and that's talking about the standout players from Saturday. I started with you, Izzo, before. We'll start with Noah on this one. Name a standout player for me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go with the easy one. Just because, I mean, it'd be quick, but man, Jonah Coleman, man, he's a Mack truck. Dude, he's just a hit stick waiting to happen. I was trying to figure this out, you know, getting a good comp for him. I think you said beast mode earlier, Mike. He reminds me a little bit, well, you know, a lot more explosive than Chris Polk, but he wears that number one on his jersey. So he reminds me, you know, he's got that balance and just like coming into the hole of Chris Polk. But man, Jonah Coleman, dude, he is the bell cow of this offense. I'm pumped to see what he kind of does for us this year.
I'm going to go ahead and go with Will Rogers here. While I was kind of tempering my excitement with him to start the show, the guy is the type of leader you want quarterbacking this offense, like just in terms of the confidence he exudes, the communication. He was 6 for 6 over the middle for 70 plus yards. I think just for me, for him to show up, you know, in the shadow of a number 9 pick in the NFL draft and come through and execute the offense the way he did, I'm pleased. And I know that there's more in the tank. I know that he can do better. And I'm certain that there's probably nobody more critical of himself than him, because it sounds like he's that type of dude. No interceptions, no giant mistakes that were made. Just played his game, played within himself, didn't let the moment become too big. So he's my guy this week.
For me, it was the freshman Damon Williams.
Yeah.
I think he alleviated a lot of fear about whether he could operate this offense at a high level, and that getting that early touchdown out of the way for him, I think that the future looks really bright at quarterback. All right, Noah,
Yeah. Last one I got. I got 1A, 1B here. I'm going to go Denzel Boston, 6 for 76, man. Hard to pass him up. But the other one I want to say really quick, Keith Reynolds, man.
Oh yeah.
Dude, he got the opportunity to return that kick, ended up getting called back. We talked about this, man, lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
There's a reason they don't want to keep that boy off the field any longer. I mean, he is quick, and when he gets up and goes, man, he can run. So watch out for number 15, man, Keith Reynolds. He's special. Just waiting to push it out. So
okay, all right. Is there anybody else?
My last one is Enoch Vimahi.
Good call.
He definitely quieted some critics.
Yeah.
If there were any who were watching him attentively, I had been hearing from some Duck fans before about how, you know, this is a guy who didn't play for Ohio State. I was just impressed with him. I mean, just his PFF grades, one of the highest on the team, just kind of was the anchor. You didn't really have to think about his position. He was just holding it down over there. So nothing crazy to glean, just did his job, came out and showed up. That's the trend I'm going with this week.
Hey, that's
Bro Rogers came in, showed up. And Enoch came in, showed up. I love it.
I agree. I think it was I think the offensive line, and this is, like I said, as a whole, really made us feel a lot better about, especially in the running game, like what we're going to be able to do moving forward. All right, hey guys, is there any more thoughts you have on the offense?
I'm going to give a shout out to Husky Nation, 67,000. Strong week one against Weber State, against an FCS opponent. Love that.
Agreed. For Izzo, for Noah, I'm Mike Flaunt, and this is the Dubbed Up Podcast. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs, baby.
Go Dogs.